Okay, we're going to just start right in where we left off last time. Because the whole point being, as I stated earlier, that we don't know how much is available. We have witnessed certain men and certain women and certain children, especially children, being filled with the Spirit of God. And, John, I'm looking at them saying, I don't think I'm there yet. And I know there's more available. I believe there's more available than anyone has received other than Jesus Christ. So my thinking in all of this was going back to when God created man. When God created Adam, what did he have in mind? What did he think of man as being in God's own image? What would that be like? What can I receive that I haven't received? Now, the key to it all is, if you're only receiving for yourself, you will be limited. But if you're receiving to pass it on, there'll be no limit. In other words, God will fill you in direct proportion to the needs around you. So, if you're only thinking of God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, you're just really limiting yourself. But if you say, Lord, I don't even know who I'm going to meet today, but I want to be way more than what they need. I want to have more of the Spirit. I want to have the Word of God instant. I want to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding instant when they have a need. I want to have power, healing virtue. Whatever they need, the instant they need it. Because we don't know what we're going to face in the next hour, the next day, the next week or month. See? But whatever it is, we want to be more than what they need. It's kind of like being super saturated, but you don't know where to dispense it yet. Okay, so break it down real simple. You're giving away God's stuff. You're receiving God, and you're giving away God to the people around you, to a lost and dying world, to your neighbors, to the body of Christ, to your church. You're giving away, but you're not giving away your stuff. See, that's what makes us hesitate. Well, I don't know if I have enough. I can tell you, you don't. You know, you don't have enough. But God does. So if you're going to give away God's stuff, there's no limit to how much you can receive and give away. Okay, let's pick up here at James 1:17. That's on the second page. On the back side, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And a gift is a gift. I guess that's simple enough, isn't it? A gift is a gift.
Yes.
Okay. And every perfect gift. Now, the word perfect here comes from a Greek word which means complete. In other words, it's everything that is needed. There's nothing left out. So it's not just perfect. You know, like you'd see something and you'd say, well, that's perfect in that it's maybe flawless. Or you think of yourself, you know, God says that you're perfect. Be perfect. As God is perfect, but think, well, that leaves me out. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being complete, having everything you need. It's kind of like when Paul talks about the body of Christ. It's the because every part has something different. You put it all together, it's complete. Okay, so that's what this word perfect, every good gift, every perfect gift. So it is a good gift. God doesn't have any bad gifts.
No, he does.
And it's every perfect gift. Sometimes, if you knew someone had a need, and you knew what it took to meet that need, let's say it's in a natural setting, and you got it for them, but then they're thinking, I'm not really sure this is what I need. But you know it's what they need. See,
yes.
They're looking at it, well, I don't know if this is good for me or not. But you know because you know what they need. God knows what every human being on the earth needs. And he has that good gift. And it's going to come down through you out to them. And it will be perfect in that it'll be complete for what they need. Okay, Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There again, it's a matter of asking. Now, when you're thinking about yourself as an individual, your asking will be in direct proportion to your hunger. So, how hungry am I? See, but there's a point where you get so full that you're not hungry anymore. But there are people all around you that have needs. So you can't take on anymore, but you can receive for them. See what I'm saying? So when we get this, how much more? If you knew how many times I've quoted that scripture to God, you know, asking him, you said how much more? And that's a question, and I don't know the answer. How much more? But obviously it's more than what I have. And I want more. We have these reports coming in from Indonesia. You've probably picked up on some of them on your Facebook and different ones that are coming through. But they are coming to the Lord by the thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Muslims, Hindus, just plain sinners, you know, getting saved by the thousands. And there are many more. I could talk all night about just how God is moving mightily, mightily, mightily by his Spirit. But it makes me say, I want more. Now, of course, you run across people and they make the statement, when I got saved, I got it all. And I thought, boy, I must have missed something somewhere. Because I didn't get it all, and I'm still getting it. But I look at them and I say, are you meeting all the needs of the people, the spiritual needs of the people around you? And they're not. So obviously they didn't get it all. And I don't have it all. You don't have it all. That's the reason why we need to be receivers. Okay. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The scripture says that God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit without measure. Well, everything's a measure. I mean, you could have a thimble. And if you filled it up, you'd have a thimble full. You could have a 12-ounce can. You fill it up, you have a 12-ounce can full. You have a 3-gallon bucket, you fill it up, and you have a 3-gallon bucket full. And that's still a measure, a 50-gallon drum. Yeah. It still contains 50 gallons. So for God to give the Holy Spirit without measure means that there can't be sides to it. In other words, it is a pipeline, not a barrel. See, it's not something that's just going to get filled up and you're going to say, okay, I got it, I'm full now. See, but you become then that pipeline, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in you, just loving people, reaching out to people, and meeting their needs, having that word of wisdom, having that word of knowledge, having that great understanding, having that grace, that mercy, that compassion. See, what do you need? Healing, deliverance. Matthew 21, 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Ask in prayer, believing. Now, prayer is a real interesting thing. Because I know I had a little kid, Mom taught me to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. And when I got a little older, she taught me to pray the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. And Our Father which art in heaven, you know, we prayed that. And then, of course, I learned scriptures, learned to pray scriptures. And all of that is like it's expanding. But I'm to the place now where I don't say prayers anymore. I don't come up with things for God to do. God tells me what to pray. And I pray it, and He answers it 100% of the time. That's what He's talking about. It's continuous prayer that Paul... He said, be continuous in prayer. So we're continually receiving, and we're continually sending back. See? You say, well, why would God tell you to pray something if God already knows? Why pray it? Because, as He said in Isaiah, I need an intercessor. I need someone on earth that will speak it into existence. I could do it, but I'm not going to. See? Jesus said, I speak what I hear my Father speak. I do what I see my Father do. In other words, He was Father-oriented, therefore He was Father-focused, and what He saw the Father doing, that's what He did. What He heard the Father praying, that's what He prayed. See? And as we come into the fullness of the Spirit, and when there's people around you that have needs, don't feel awkward about silence. Okay, what I mean by that is don't just start jabbering. Don't just start talking. Pause. Wait. And God will tell you exactly what to say, what to do, how to do. And of course, early on, I think one of my mistakes was when God would do something, I would remember how He did it. So the next time I would come to the same situation, I said, well, it worked there, it'll work here. Very quickly I realized that won't happen. God will do it different every time because it's specifically designed for that person. I was ministering in a little town in Tennessee, and I had two ladies come. Not at the meeting time, but they came over in the afternoon where I was staying with some people there. And they had identical situations. Identical problems. Well, that makes it easy, doesn't it? All I have to do is just minister to one and both will get it. But that's not what happened. God's instruction to one woman was totally the opposite of his instruction to the other woman, and both of it worked perfect. It was complete for them. That's where compassion. See, this love, this grace, this compassion. So don't think that something's going to work one time. We'll just, okay, I'll quote that scripture. No. And of course, the theologians tell you, always use scripture in context. Yeah. All good theologians tell you that. I'm not a theologian, so I don't have to do that. When the theologians come and talk to me about it, you know, well, now you have to look at the context. I said, you should have told Jesus before he got started, because he uses scripture out of context all the time. If it's in the Word of God, he considered it to be the Word of God. And so don't be surprised if God gives you a scripture that doesn't sound like it fits anything. But it'll fit. If God gives it to you, it'll fit perfect and it will work perfect. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He'll give you that exact word. But it takes love, it takes compassion, it takes grace and mercy. Yeah. To bring all that out in that perfection. So that's the reason why, that's what I'm praying. You know, not just to have the mind of Christ, but to have the very spirit of Christ, the very character of Christ. Okay. 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Isn't it easy to just gloss over a verse like that? I mean, what if we believe that? What if we believe that whatever we ask, we receive? Did Jesus believe that he would receive what he asked? Did he raise Lazarus from the dead? See? What did he say right before he raised Lazarus from the dead? Father, I know that you always hear me. Lazarus, come forth. And he came out. There wasn't any question about it. If we ask, we receive. See? There again, if you're trying to have faith, then you'll have a tremendous hang-up. But if you have the faith of God, if you have the faith of Jesus Christ, and how you get that faith is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Place your faith in Jesus and you will receive the faith of Jesus. And it's the faith of Jesus that created the universe. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to Him. What's pleasing to God? Loving one another. Loving people. What's His commandment? Love God and love one another. When you do that, everything of the Spirit of God opens up to you. And you're free from all human bondage. It liberates you from all the fears, all the doubts. It just all goes away. And it doesn't even come into play when you're loving people and ministering to people. Okay. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive. You'll really enjoy that. You'll experience the joy of the Lord. So we ask and we receive. I hope you understand. There's more to receiving than just saying, I believe it. Let it come into you. Let it fill you. I'll spend an hour or two of the time just in His presence, you know, just receiving, receiving, receiving. Yes, I receive you. I receive you. Yeah. I receive the mind of Christ. I receive the Word of God. I receive your love, your grace, your mercy. And I'll just, you know, and then God will begin to open my eyes to see more and more being available. Yeah, I receive that too. See, I'll never get to the place where I say, I have it all, or I have enough. Ask in my name. Now, understand that this isn't a formula. In the name of Jesus. If I say in the name of Jesus, then that puts the magic to it. No, that's not what it's about. It's in the name of Jesus is in behalf of Jesus Christ. So we might say it this way, Jesus makes you whole. You're not even saying in the name of Jesus, but if you were Jesus, then this is how you would do it. We're not Jesus, but we are the body of Christ ministering in His behalf. And so, in behalf of Jesus. See, that keeps you from getting religious, maybe. To say, in behalf of Jesus Christ, be healed. Be made whole. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Remember, Paul said, now ask for the best gifts. So we're asking for God's best gifts to give away to other people. To give away to the body of Christ, to give away to a lost and dying world. Matthew 8:10. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. We're passing on God's stuff. We're giving away God to the needy people. We're giving away what God has for them. So we're receiving and we're giving. It's coming in and going out. Here again, the pipeline. See? There's no measure to this pipeline. The only thing that's going to measure it is how big are the needs. 1 Corinthians 14:24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So, as we're moving in the gifts, people will experience God. They'll experience the glory of God, the manifest presence of God. And they will fall down and worship God. Of course, when I came into the baptism in the Holy Spirit back in 1966, I was in the Berean Baptist Church in Kansas City. And so you get all these Baptists speaking in tongues, moving in the gifts of the Spirit. But we would have people who would, it's like, they want to bring a visitor. And it's like, oh, I hope there's no speaking in tongues because they might be offended. And we may go Sundays without there being a message in tongues and interpretation. And the very moment they bring a visitor, guess what? But But it, not one single time did that visitor leave without saying, "Now I know God is among you." There was that message in tongues or whatever. I didn't understand what that was, but the interpretation spoke directly to my heart.
Yeah.
Now I know there's a living God who knows me personally.
Amen.
See, that's what it's talking about. See, having the gifts that people need. Okay, now as we're coming into this, we want to get more into the practical application of all that we're talking about. Romans 12:21 says, "Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And of course, my question is, does God have enough good to overcome evil? Does God have enough good? Is there enough good in you? Overcome the evil that is in them. We just watched a movie here the other night called Unconditional. Did you see it? Wasn't that great? But anyway, long story short, they, of course, it was a school setting where they were told that they couldn't have Bible study and they couldn't have a school play. Of course, they finally get an attorney that comes in, wins the case for them. But what blessed me so much in this movie was the young man who was trying to have the Bible studies and everything. There was this school teacher that was, you know, like the atheist. And you're not going to have Bible study. We're going to wipe it out all over the United States. And but when they were praying afterwards, the young man said, you know, they was talking about the teacher, you know, bad, bad, bad. And he said, "No, he's just like the rest of us. He's not a bad person. He just believes different than we do, and he's convinced that he's right. But it's only because he hasn't experienced the love of God like we have." Or the teacher was standing in the door and overheard it. Changed his life. Is there enough good? Is there enough good to overcome evil? And so all of these challenges that we think are so horrible, God said, "Look to me, look to me." See, he doesn't just want us to win the war. He wants us to win people to Christ in the midst of winning the war.
Amen.
What if all fear could be taken out of you? Once you see everything from God's perspective, you don't have to have fear. You don't have to have doubts. You don't have to back down from anything. Amen? Okay. And your notes there, God doesn't intend for us to tolerate evil. That's where the church has failed. Is the church, it's like, well, we've got to live in this society. And, you know, we don't have much tolerance, but we do end up tolerating it. And the reason for that is it's brought in a little at a time. And I receive the Holy Spirit a little at a time. Except I receive more than the evil. So the time it comes up, I'm ready. Okay, God doesn't intend for us to fear evil. Of course, Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil." Jesus himself prayed for us. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Keep them from evil. Okay, John 3:34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." That's the one I was telling you about earlier. God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. So if I'm going to be a receiver, then I'm going to approach God every day with the idea, I need more. I need more because people need more. And my neighbors all need more. Even if it's just that they need for me to fix their car or to repair something in their home. Whatever. That's all, whatever we do, we're doing in the name of the Lord. We're doing it as unto the Lord. You need Holy Spirit to do that. I've shared with you. My neighbors call me up and they ask me to do things that I have no idea what I'm doing. And yet, I get it done. Why? Because I don't look at the problem. I look at the Father, and the Father tells me how to fix it. See, that's what it's all about. It's all about loving and receiving love. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love one another. Love your neighbors yourself. Well, if we do that, we'll have all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. And be complete, have everything everyone needs. What would it be like, Phil, if you went on a job and had every tool and every part to fix a heater or air conditioner?
I've had it happen.
Yeah. And pick up that tool just at the last second. You don't even know why you'll need it.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's what that's for.
It's happened to me a lot.
Yeah. See, what if we learned how to walk in the Spirit, loving people for every need? And we're not just talking about spiritual needs. We're talking about every need that they have. Talking here now about application. Okay, we're going to go to Psalm 23, verse 5. David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." That'll preach. That's a sermon. See? Okay, what's the first thing? Enemies all around. The more you get in the presence of enemies, the greater the anointing. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you want to see grace active, get out where the sinners are. And the greater the sin, the greater the power to save. You can't experience this sitting in your living room watching TV.
No.
It's being where the people are. See, and so he says, you prepare a table. You're getting all these goodies for me, stacking them up. Where? In the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. Because God wants the enemy to see his goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance.
Amen. Amen.
And so when people see the goodness of God, they'll repent. See, when they see that God's prepared a table before you, in their presence, my cup runs over. More than enough. More than enough. Anointing, I know I've defined this for you, but some of you may want to write it down. The word anointing is power meeting need. Power meeting need.
Okay.
You cannot have anointing just because you have power. And you will not have anointing just because there's a need. It's the combination of those two coming together. Power meeting need brings anointing. how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wasn't sitting in his living room. He was where the devil-possessed people were. And the anointing was there. See? So God has anointed you. He's anointed me. We have the power. But we have to get the power to where the needs are. If you don't get the power, and by the way, some of you experience opposition. It's in the midst of opposition that I've experienced the greatest anointing. And the people opposing me were the ones that benefited from the anointing. So I don't mind people opposing me. I'm not, you know, I don't get upset because people oppose me. They're just setting themselves up. Because it's in the midst of this going on that this anointing, this power, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And of course, I think most of you know the Greek word there is M-A-R-T-I-S, where we get our word martyr. So if you're where you can be martyred, then you're going to be the witness. See, God had a plan for a young man called Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And he had this powerful man called Stephen. They decided to stone Stephen. They stoned Stephen, and Stephen died seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Stephen died all over Saul. Saul never got over the way Stephen died. That was the witness. That was the witness. And he knew exactly when the light came and the voice came, knocked him down off his horse. He knew, what do you want, Lord? He knew. He'd already witnessed it. See, because he'd seen Stephen. See, it's the way we die. People are trying to kill us all the time. How are we going to die when they start to kill us? And I'm not talking about physically dying, which we might do. It's fine with me. I'm out of here. I'm just here for people anyway. So anytime they want to take me out, that's fine with me. I'm on my way. But how do you die in the midst of problems, in the midst of persecution and struggle? Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. In other words, keep dying, keep dying. Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If they kill us, then they're going to see Jesus. They're going to see the glory of God. They're going to see the presence and power of God. And even if we die, we'll still be that witness.
Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was not to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises from the dead.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Gives a reference to him.
2 Corinthians 1:9.
Yeah. And nothing can be compared. No matter what we suffer, nothing can be compared with the glory that's about to be revealed. Okay. So in Revelation 4:11, now, where I'm taking you with this, okay, first of all, if you remember last month, we started with salvation. You have to receive something from above. Okay, so I'm born again because Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, left heaven, came into me. Mm-hmm. If something didn't leave heaven and come into you, you're not born again. If you have, then you have eternal life because Jesus is eternal life. Okay? Then we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We receive the gifts of the Spirit, and that's when it begins to change. Because now the gifting is what we're receiving to give away to others. Okay? Then the end result is not only do we receive, but we give unto God glory. So we want Him to receive glory and honor for all that's happening on the earth. We're not going to hang on to it. We're not going to hang on to the gifts. We're not going to hang on to the glory. Just give the glory to God. Just pass it on. Don't hang on to it. Just pass it on. Give it all back to Him. He'll give you more. See? And then there'll be more, and there'll be more and more. So that's what these verses are about. Okay? It's how we take all this and offer it back up to God. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. By the way, the word worthy there is also where we get our word worship. And it all comes from a root word, which is worth. Worth, W-O-R-T-H. It's a comparative word, okay? It's how much is God worth in comparison to my worth? That's what causes us to worship. See, when we begin to see, I'm just made out of dust. I'm made out of dirt. Yeah. The only thing about me that's good is what God's put in me. And from that point, then we bow before Him and we worth Him. We worth Him and we say, you are worthy, and we worship. It's all the same word. It's not three different words. It's all one word. It just depends on how you're functioning in it. So, worth, worthy, and worship. All the same thing. So, we receive and we give glory to God. We worship God. God, you're the one that did it. Thank you. You know, looking forward to the next time. Yes. Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. Did you think of God as being a receiver? God is a receiver. Do you think He received your love? Your praise? Your worship? Your offerings? He's a receiver. I want to keep plenty going up there. Yeah. I want to fill up heaven with worship and praise. You're worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Psalm 23 verses 4 and 5 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Oh, we see your activity all around us. You've used us to be your love, reaching out to people, to be your hand extended. And we enjoy that, Father. More than anything else on earth, we enjoy being your hand extended. Just loving people, meeting needs. And Father, we give unto you that which you want, that which you will receive. We give you our faith. We give you glory and honor and power and praise. We give you blessing. You blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything you put in me, I send back to you in worship and praise. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit of God. I love you, Word of God. I love you, Church of the Living God. I love you. I love you. I love you. I worship you. Spirit of a Living God. Spirit of a Living God, we receive you now. Without measure. Without measure. Open our eyes to see the needs around us. The hurting people. The wounded people. The wounded people in the church. Help us to see. Help us to see what you see and to love them the way you love them and help them the way you help them. Spirit of a Living God, we choose to walk in the Spirit. We're through with being carnally minded and walking in the flesh. We want to be fully committed to you, Heavenly Father, for your pleasure and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.